we ought to do a Jersey night tonight. You know. Well, no, you know why? I would tell you because I just read a note here that Jersey's brought back the old American custom of tarring and feathering. Oh, yeah, yeah. Did you hear about the guy that got tarred and feathered in Jersey? You didn't think they actually did that, did you? Yeah, a guy was tarred and feathered. So they put roofing tar on him, and then they threw a bag full of feathers on him. You know, it's funny. That's the first time I can ever recall ever actually hearing about anybody actually having it done to them. I mean, tarring and feathering. I mean, that would be a terrible thing to have to explain when you got home from work, you know, covered with tar and feathers and all that. So, well, you know, the gang got together. I don't know. How would you get it off? I mean, that's another question. Of course, that's the whole point of it. You know, that brings up a whole new, I hate to say it, but it's almost a whole new vista in justice. You know, nostalgia is a big thing these days, and obviously tarring and feathering was big. It's coming back. Who knows next, you know? Can't you see this judge sentencing this guy to 7 days in the stocks? And, you know, he's sitting down here on Herald Square, and he got these stocks, you know, with his feet sticking out, and all the people walking past looking at him. And, speaking of ancient penalties... Now that we brought up the subject of tar, leave it to Jersey. Now, Jersey's a very gutty state. I mean, it's have you ever heard of guys getting ridden out of town on a rail? You ever heard that expression, Jersey? You know, they ought to ride that bum right out of town on a rail. You've heard that? Well, how's that done? I wouldn't know how to go about riding a guy out of town on a rail. I just don't know quite what the technique is. You mean on a hand car and rail? No, you don't ride him out of town on a rail. That's a bag for punishment about that. I mean, a guy goes to work that way a lot of times. That's not punishment. I'm talking about why is it a punishment? How do you ride a guy out of town on a rail? On a train? No. Has it occurred to you, Joe, there are other kinds of rails? There's rails that the type of Abraham Lincoln split. There's all kinds of rails, not just train rails. You've heard a literal mind there. I mean, when guys were being ridden out of town on a rail, that was even before they had railroads. Now, the question here is, how is it done? I mean, there must be some fans out there. You know, when I say fans, I mean fans of justice. I mean, real justice. Now, tarring and feathering, I suppose the tar has to be heated to the right consistency, right? I mean, when you take the guy down, and I presume you don't do it over a suit. I presume it's done in the buff, isn't it? Well, I don't know. See, these are all technical problems that we're going to have to straighten out, since it's quite obvious that what with the cuckoo nostalgic world that's taken off, we're going to have to know these things, because eventually some judge is going to bring back drawing and quartering. And I don't know whether or not we have any people that are technically up to it. Do you know how to draw and quarter a person? That sounds wild. I mean, draw and quarter. Let's see. There were some other penalties, too. How about the rack? That was a good one. You got to have the equipment, though, for that one, I understand. You just can't do that. Yes, that's a good one. Yes, the thumb screw. The thumb screw. Now, the thumb screw is fairly easy to operate. All you do is... if you really want to do a good... You don't really need classical thumb screw equipment to do that. You can use the ordinary Sears Roebuck home carpenter vise for that. You just put the guy's thumb on the vise and start tightening it up. And, 10 or maybe 15 good turns of the vise there. And he's willing to confess to damn near anything, right? Okay, that's a good one. Of course, the Iron Maiden, we all know about that. That would make a wonderful... nostalgic thing to bring back to the tombs, the Iron Maiden. Of course, you have any other any others that you might know about? I don't know what they call that when they hang you by your thumbs. Now, I don't know whether that has a technical name. You know, you hang the guy up in the air by his thumbs, and he sort of hangs in midair there. That's quite similar to the rack. So we have to salute Jersey. Would you give me a little Jersey salutation music there, Joe? Anything that you've got, that's fine. That's good. That's classic Jersey stuff there. So tonight we take this opportunity once again to salute our forward-looking state. Just our neighbor here. Just on the other end of the Holland Tunnel, of course. You notice that's the end they collected dough on? Of course. Good old Jersey. And we would like to salute Jersey for bringing back the tarring and feathering, which has been lost so many years to American fans of justice. We presume, of course, that there are other plans in the works. I don't know. I'd like to interview this guy. When did you first realize, sir, that your neighbors had decided to tar and feather you?
Well, when they rolled that bale of tar up and they had them, all them feathers in that bag, I figured something was up.
So, sir, did you have any difficulty explaining it to your friends when you got home, looking like a big speckled bird? I mean, looking like the Cookie Monster,
eh? Oh, Susanna, dust off that old piano.
Oh, dust off that old piano.
My hands are itching for
the
cheese.
Sing it out,
Kay. It's time we had the father's
now,
anticipated.
Don't think I'm taking justice lightly, friends. I believe completely in justice.
Take off that old bandana.
I mean, a little thumb screw work never hurt a guy, really. Just gives you a bad hand. A couple of fat knuckles for a while, but thank you, Joe. That's very nice. Just let it run out. That's all. Very good. Thank you, Jersey. Well, I don't make the news. Where did it happen? You want to know where it happened? I mean, isn't Jersey enough for you? Actually, it's Mount Holly. You never heard of that either? Joe, I'm surprised. You're living down at the bottom of the great pit, the abyss of ignorance. And while on the subject of the pit and the abyss, how about a commercial? Hit it,
Dave. How much does this new car cost? All right, including my fault? Oh, tinted glass? Reclining bucket? Disc brakes? Well, how about electric rear window?
The true cost of a new car is what you pay for it the way you want it, not stretched. The Datsun 610 Luxury Economy Car comes with all those extra standards, things other cars charge extra for, plus full carpeting, electric clock, center console box, and lots more. The Datsun 610 delivers great gas mileage, low maintenance, and high resale value, too. Take a test drive in a Datsun 610 four-door sedan, two-door hardtop, and five-door wagon. Compare costs. True costs. You'll discover the Datsun 610 is a bigger bargain than you thought.
Yeah, go in and see your local New York, New Jersey, or Fairfield County Datsun dealer. Make the scene there big and drive one of them little old things around there. Oh, okay, Joe, hit it.
There's no trick to selling cheap clothing at cheap prices. There are plenty of schlock stores in New York. But it's awfully tough today to give you good quality clothes at prices that still make sense. I'm sorry, but I speak as a pro. There's no such thing anymore as good clothing at low prices. You've got to give up something if you want to stretch your buck. Gramercy Park suggests you give up the fancy storefronts and nonsense that goes with the old way of buying clothes. If you're in the market for a new suit, a coat, or slacks, and you want to get the best quality you can for the dollars you spend, go to Gramercy Park Clothes in the factory building at 61 West 23rd Street. Go upstairs through the big iron gate. You'll see a lot of clothing with today's look. Clothing made for a man who likes good things. Gramercy Park is open to 7, on Saturday to 6, and on Sunday from 10 to 5. The address is 61 West 23rd Street, New York.
Oh, yeah, that was very good. Yeah, hey, you know, also, you know, have you thought how effective it would be to bring back public lashings? Oh, sure, you know, you get 7 shots of the cat of nine tails. Actually, the the punishment was meted out by the number of strokes one got. You know, different strokes, etc. The judge would actually say, you get 7, you know, you get 7 strokes, 6 strokes, 9, depending on, you know, how long you were parked and all that stuff. Give you a shot there. That reminds me, this Sunday, the Arts and Leisure section of the New York Times has a great new look. It's been redesigned to make it easier to use, you know, bigger print so that you don't have to move your lips when you read and all that. And the content has been changed to make your reading so much more interesting. They've cut out all the big words and stuff. For the first time this Sunday, the Times gives you capsule theater reviews on Broadway, off-Broadway, off-off-Broadway, off-off-off-Broadway, and Jersey reviews. The New York Times Arts and Leisure section gives you the same kind of help in choosing movies. I mean, what would you do without the Times? You may just find yourself going to a few good movies once in a while. I mean, you know, and enjoying a play that you've been told you shouldn't enjoy, you know, all those things. But nevertheless, if you'd like the New York Times to help you out through all those little squeaky parts of life, you pick up this weekend's Times. It's big and fat, and it weighs 7, maybe 15 pounds. It's nice. Beautiful paper. You can also get it delivered at home. They'll bring it out in a pickup truck. It's MU70700. You call them. They'll send one of those little quarter-tonners out. This is WOR New York. Speaking of rich and redundant, and that reminds me, the money button is leaking again. Yes, friends, if you need a long mileage tire, get General's 40,000 mile dual steel radio, built with a smooth riding radio ply body and 2 strong steel belts for puncture protection. General dual steel radio, the first polyester and steel radio accepted by Detroit, as they call it out there. That's Detroit. For original equipment use in Long Island City, see John Crow. He's your General Tire Specialist at the General Tire Service, Northern Boulevard at 38th Street. And sing it out.
Sooner or later, you're on General's. Sooner or later, you're on General's.
I'm Fran Allison. On nights when you have trouble falling asleep,
you know,
what are some of the things you do?
Well,
I sleep with my head at the other end of the bed. Sometimes that helps. I eat.
I do relaxing exercises, starting with my toes, and I'm usually asleep before I reach my shoulders.
On those occasional nights when you have trouble falling asleep, and exercise and counting sheep just don't seem to work, try Compose. Compose simply relaxes and unwinds you, so your body is able to fall asleep more easily. Of course, by falling asleep more easily, you're going to feel better the next morning. So take Compose on those occasional nights when you have trouble sleeping. If you're not satisfied in any way with Compose, mail Compose the box top and they'll send you double your money back. Remember, the more easily you fall asleep, the better you feel the next morning. Compose. Use only as directed. It's guaranteed.
Okay, very good. Sooner or later, you'll hey, we have a... Yeah, oh, that's all right, pal. You can relax. You can relax. I'm through with the commercials here for a while. That's right. I'm going to put them aside there, our giant squirming bag of pitches. Hey, you know, speaking of pitches, and you know, this nostalgia thing is really getting wild. It's getting to the point where you don't know whether it's... whether it's a madness, a sickness, or, you know, what it is. Do you know what's coming back? In case you're interested in that wild scene. Had a call.
Home from work, yeah.
Had a call. Did you ever hear a had a call, any of you guys? You didn't. All I can say is, where the hell were you in the 1950s? You mean to tell me you weren't around in that time? You don't know what had a call is? Now, that's how fame is. Do you know that had a call at one time, very briefly in the 50s, was one of the biggest fads that America has ever had? And as a matter of fact, one night, they filled Madison Square Garden and you'll never guess who they filled it with. Bob Hope and Bing Crosby appeared there on behalf of Hattacall. And you don't know what Hattacall is? I can't believe it. No, I really can't. Hattacall? No, that's amazing. See, I have a theory. No, I'm gonna propose a theory right here, and I want you guys to listen to it. I have a theory, and it's really not a theory. It's based on all the years I've been in mass media, and it's really that people remember very little about their lives. And for that reason, since they don't remember much about their lives, and very few incidents do they actually remember, that if you were to ask a man, it would be fascinating to me to take an average guy, and I'm not talking about a dummy, I'm just talking about an average person. Let's say a guy that's 40 years old, and he's an average intelligence. He lives in the suburbs. He has a job. And sit him down in a chair and say, "Okay, now I'm going to give you some blank paper, and I want you to write down on this blank paper all you remember about your life." And I'll bet any money the average guy wouldn't be able to fill up a page and a half. It's very interesting, and I've seen this come about, and I think this is, you know, I believe this is one of the reasons why. This so-called nostalgia is a big thing in America, because we, among all the people in the world, remember very little about our lives. And I think it's because most people don't live much of a personal life. Most of their lives are vicarious. In other words, your life doesn't exist while you're watching canon. It simply doesn't. Your life does not exist while you're watching Robert Redford. It just doesn't. You're just a nameless, faceless, sexless intelligence sitting in the dark, absorbing or reliving or living. And incidentally, it's important to remember, it's a fictional life up there on the screen, not a real life. And so ultimately, hardly anybody has any reality that he actually can recall. And a lot of people distrust reality very much. They would opt for Paul Newman any time. And I think one of the reasons why we're very distrustful of our politicians is that Paul Newman hasn't run yet. We would feel very good if we could get Newman in. You feel, you know, now somebody's in charge that really knows what law and order is about. Why, I saw him clean up Tombstone. And, you know, and I think there's a lot to this. And since you don't remember Hattacall, I'm impressed with you, especially since you guys were in media in those days. Hattacall was created almost exclusively by media. Did you know that? Yes. And I'll guarantee you it was right here on this station. Now, I'll read to you what it's about. And this comes from Orlando, Florida, in case you're curious. It's a headline, and it's part of the whole nostalgia thing. A popular joke of the mid-50s asked how Hattacall, an alcoholic vitamin tonic, got its name. Well, I had to call it something, with the corny punchline, familiar to billions of Americans at that time, who purchased more than 40 million bottles of the crummy-tasting liquid back in the mid-50s. It was a medicine. It came on. Don't you remember the name Dudley LeBlanc? He was on all the commercials. Senator Dudley LeBlanc. But as American business has been quick to discover, yesterday's corn is today's nostalgia. The latest bidder for the slice of the nostalgia profit pie is this guy, Robert Brock. He's an Atlanta truck driver turned entrepreneur who is resurrecting Hattacall from the limbo of forgotten national fads. Hattacall is as American as apple pie, says Brock, who purchased the trademark. And that's what we're selling, a piece of America. Why, everybody remembers the 50s. To promote the potent tonic, Brock and Orlando Marketing Salon, they're bringing it back. And it came out of Louisiana, for those of you who don't know anything about it. Now, I want to tell you something about that. I can't believe that you don't remember it. Hattacall, spelled H-A-D-A-C-O-L, swept America so fantastically. Now, I remember, because I was in school at the time, and I remember, yes, I was at Indiana University. If you want to know where I was, school to you always means PS1 or something. We called it school, huh? What's that? I don't know what you're talking about, Joe. That infuriated you. But that's where I was. And I'm going to tell you, I was there when a train came in. They had trains. They went around the country. They called it the Hattacall Caravan. I was went down to Cincinnati because this came in and it had Bob Hope, it had Groucho Marx, it had Mickey Rooney. It was the biggest star thing that ever happened. I mean, it was much bigger than any star stuff of today. And these guys traveled around the country in this train. They would put on a gigantic show in town. Bob Hope. I'm talking about Bob Hope. I'm talking about Bing Crosby. As a matter of fact, it says Dudley LeBlanc. See, he was this guy that supposedly invented it. And he came out with his commercials. If you don't remember it, his commercials would start out, he'd say, "I'm Senator Dudley LeBlanc. And I mixed up the first batch of Hattacall back in the backyard using the wash tub. I realized that Americans needed a real tonic. They needed something that brought iron and vitamins into their life. And I invented Hattacall. Since that time, millions of my friends and neighbors have gotten healthier and stronger and bigger because they used Hattacall." What he didn't say was it was 40% alcohol. It would, you know, smoke would come right out of your ears. And old ladies who were, you know, were part and parcels of various church groups, you know, that didn't believe in drinking, they certainly brought a lot of Hattacall. And they would sit at home and drink this Hattacall and eat Ritz crackers. By the way, Ritz crackers and Hattacall made a nice combination. And the old ladies would sit there and drink Hattacall. And it was all part of health, see? Now, here's who traveled in the Hattacall circus. They called them the greatest medicine show on earth. It toured the country with such superstars of the period as Bob Hope, Milton Berle, Mickey Rooney, Groucho Marx, Burns and Allen. And the way you got into these shows, you brought two box tops of Hattacall. It's fantastic. And this guy made, during one 15-month period, he sold more than $25 million worth of Hattacall. So you can see it was a big deal. $25 million worth in 6 months, 15 months rather. And in 6 months, the entire thing was all over. The bubble had burst. And it's gone. And you don't even remember it. Now, that's fascinating. They also had, there was a big hit record. I'm surprised you don't even remember that. It's coming back. In fact, they're bringing it back out. A 78 RPM re-release of the 7 million record hit called Hattacall Boogie. Hattacall Boogie. And it had such great lyrics. Like, for example, here's a typical lyric. Rooster and the hen, they was dancing in the shade. Rooster done the boogie while the hen laid the egg. Did you ever hear that? You didn't see that? Obviously, it was here, and it went right through your head. What I'm saying is you did hear it, but you didn't retain it. That's the important thing. You just simply didn't. It was a big national story. And all the radio stations, all and television, by the way, it was 51, remember, 52 or 53. It was not prehistoric days we're talking about. All the television and everything was saturated with Hattacall spots. Being done by people like Groucho Marx and Bob Hope and Mickey Rooney and all of us. And today, nobody remembers it. Fantastic. Now, that's true nostalgia. See, I've always said that nostalgia that you see on the so-called nostalgic family situation comedies on TV are nothing at all like the periods. For example, none of the music of the period is ever brought back. The real music. I'll give you some suggestions. Joni James. She was bigger by far than Fats Domino in the 50s, right? Eddie Fisher, he was 50 million times bigger than Fats Domino, and yet he's never mentioned. Every time they show a nostalgic sequence, they always show a bunch of kids in a drugstore, and mysteriously the Fats Domino records are playing, and he was not that popular. Compared to the biggies I'm talking about, that were really big. By the way, among kids. Oh, yeah, Pat Boone was the biggest thing since bottled beer among kids. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Sure, fantastic. And none of this stuff is ever brought out. Now, if you're going to talk about true nostalgia. True nostalgia is the way it really was, as opposed to the way people later rewrite it to be. So in the 1950s, there were people whom you never even hear about. You know who was tremendously big in the 50s? I mean, I'm talking about the 50s. Sold millions of records. It was a lady singer. Now recall this: a lady singer who sang very elegant versions, mostly of folk songs. Okay, Joe Stafford. You mean you don't remember Joe's? You never hear it. And you know who was bigger than any of them at the time? In fact, he had his own television show. He was so big that his TV show was on at prime time, like 7:30 at night. And this guy played the piano, and he sang. Nat Cole. Nat Cole was fantastically big. You may get your kicks on Route 66. This was all, this is the real 50s, you know, as opposed to, see, I think that somehow today we like to think that rock was big in the 60s. It was not, or 50s rather. It simply wasn't. It became big in the 60s, but earlier than that, it was just a small thing compared to the really biggies of the time. Among others, who else can you think of that was big at that time? I'm talking about performers. Well, absolutely, Rosemary Clooney. Fantastic, come out of my house. Rosemary Clooney, wherever she went, 50 million people would go. Yeah, in fact, the Clooney sisters. Rosemary Clooney was another biggie of that period. Yes, Perry Como. I mean, Perry Como was enormous in those days. Art Ford? Who? Mary Ford. I can't understand what you're saying. Les Paul. Les Paul was an enormous star in those days. And Ernie Ford is still big. See, I'm talking about people that have disappeared. Ernie Ford is still around. But I'm talking about in the 50s, big in the jukeboxes where people went in Plainfield, New Jersey and ate pizza. Ernie Ford was not in those places, but I will say this: Joe Stafford was. I will also say that Joni James was fantastically big in those days. And who else would you think of? All right, do you remember the guy that sang in the rear? Who sang "Dance Ballerina Dance"? La da da dee 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 dee. Yeah, he was another big... Little Echo Chamber, he was another one of his things. Racing with the moon, high upon a midnight... That's it. You remember that? Who was that? Vaughn Monroe. And none of these guys are ever mentioned. You see all this nostalgia stuff, and they never really touched the real thing. The real thing was very different from what is being passed off as nostalgia today. So when you say "had a call," everybody looks at you blankly. I don't remember "had a call." That was bigger than bottled beer. And there were other things that were big. What are some of the fads of the 50s that they never seem to relate to in any of these shows? Maybe because the guys that are writing them have no memory of their own life either. That's the problem, really. What was one of the big things in the 50s as a fad? I mean, just fantastic. Swept the country like hula hoops. That's right. I mean, it was really enormous. I mean, people lined up down here at Macy's to buy hula hoops. It's insane. You did too, right, Mark? Okay. Well, I mean, all of a sudden it was all over. Just, man, zap, gone. What were some of the other biggies? What's that? No. I'm talking about stuff that was big. You know, you're just telling out little things that were around. Now, movie stars, too, have disappeared that were enormous in the 50s, and nobody talks about them. Guy Madison. I mean, Guy Madison. Do you remember Mitchell? Do you remember Guy Mitchell? Remember him? He was a singer. What else did he do? People like... Don Cornell, and it was another biggie of the period. You don't remember him? Oh, I can't believe it. How about Well, Fabian. How about Bobby V? All those guys. They were much bigger than Fats Domino. Especially, I remember all those teenage magazines, a big picture of Bobby V. And they all had names like that. Bobby V, Jimmy D. I suspect that one of the biggest guys of that period was the late Bobby Darin. Oh, I mean, Bobby Darin was, tremendous in those days. And all these guys made movies. Annette Funicello, I mean, was another big star of the period. Yeah, you know, it's funny, when you see those old movies, once in a while they'll show up on TV, you know, and out of that, the real thing, you see. And in the crowd playing bit parts, you'll see Don Rickles. Yeah, Don Rickles was always playing the heavy. He was playing the guy that ran the candy store. You know, the bad guy. Yeah, did you know that? Yeah, you just watch these things. Well, before we go any further, speaking of heavy, we got a couple of commercials. Hit the button there, play.
There's a way to keep your car going great and going far. It's called the Chevron way. Chevron dealers want to be the one who
tires. Stop by your Chevron dealer and get the answers. Most Chevron dealers carry a full line of Atlas tires, and they know tires. Tires like the Atlas Steel Radio 70. It gives you a smooth ride, long mileage, and the extra added strength of steel radio construction. Now's the time to see your Chevron dealer about the Atlas Steel Radio 70 tire.
And take the Chevron way.
Grand Union, Grand Union, where's my stuff? Oh, he's still singing it, guy.
Bread for love never every day.
It's a Grand Union about the things, Grand Union.
Our grand buys them are green.
Not a
weekly special.
Can't you see this chorus out there? This guy wearing his pink shirt, running around his tinfoil shoes. Yes, here are some grand buys at Grand Union this week, friend. As USDA Choice corn-fed boneless beef roast, $1.18 a pound. Top round, bottom round, or shoulder, golden ripe bananas, 15 cents a pound. Get the big banana at Grand Union.
Yeah.
Whoa. Yeah, Tony Martin, of course. He was big. And the TV shows of the period, of course, Perry Como was fantastic. I mean, he had that giant TV show of that time. Mitch Miller. Who? Mitch Miller? I'll have to... He'll give it to me there. I can't read the lips there from you. You guys are very bad at it. Milton Berle, of course, was big on television. We're talking about singers. You know, singers used to have their own TV shows. Very big. Peggy Lee had a big television show at the time. Here's another one you probably don't even remember. She was very, very big. Margaret Whiting. Yeah,
younger than springtime.
Margaret Whiting. She also, one of her big hits was How Are Things in Glockamora. And then there was the guy... Oh, well, yeah, Dinah Shore, the Dinah Shore show. That, you know, see the USA in your Chevrolet. You know, let's see. And none of this stuff is ever mentioned, you know, in these nostalgia bits they do. And yet that was the real stuff of the time, the real stuff of the time. One of the big promotions of that period, by the way, in the automobile world. Everybody, of course, remembers the Edsel. That was a big thing in the 50s. That was really tremendous. But one of the big promotions in the 50s, and I remember hearing it, was all over radio and all over television. They were promoting. They were looking for the name of a car. And in fact, I remember Walter Winchell was on in those days. Did you know that at that time Walter Winchell had a television show? Oh yeah, he came out with a hat and he did a variety show trying to imitate Ed Sullivan and the Walter Winchell show, and they had this big promotion, and they were trying to name a car. What was the promotion? They had a national contest to name the car. Now, you're going to say Edsel. I'm going to say other. That they did have a contest to name the Edsel, yes. But there was another car that they were trying to name. What was the car, and what was the whole circumstances around it? It was a big thing in its day. I'll tell you. You probably won't even remember it. They had a national contest. It was all a lot of big people involved on national television, and Walter Winchell spearheaded the thing. And in fact, the whole culmination of the contest came. They announced the name of the contest on the Walter Winchell television show. And the winner was applauded. And the name of the car was the Henry J. You mean you don't even remember that? You don't even know there was such a car as the Henry J? Now, that shows you how little you know about a time you think that you know a lot about. The 50s, everybody thinks he started. No, the Henry J, which was the Kaiser Fraser. Yes, and they're small. They came out with a small car, and they were one of the first people to ever build a compact in America. And they brought out the Henry J. It was just too early for compact cars. Well, and there was another car. The leading joke was, of course, was that you couldn't tell whether it was coming or going, which end was going, which end. What car was that? That is correct. The Studebaker. That's right, the Studebaker. That was pure 50s. In fact, they even came out with one model that had a little propeller on the nose. Do you recall that? And when you drive the car, the propeller would spin. It was right on the nose. Who designed it? There was a lot of advertising about that, a lot of publicity about that. Who designed that car? You mean you've never heard the name Raymond Loewy? You haven't. Well, see, there you again. The true 50s have eluded you. He was a big deal at that time. What are some of the other things you can remember the period? I mean, let's say we're in the for argument's sake, who was a big columnist of the period that is not, you don't even hear about him anymore. He was number one around in New York. Everybody read him. It was a very hip thing to read. You mean you don't remember John Crosby? Everybody quoted John Crosby. You didn't know that? You ever hear the name? Okay, John Crosby was a very erudite television critic. And he suddenly, you just don't hear of John Crosby. He was the Herald Tribune. And who else was a television critic of the period? Jack O'Brien was very controversial. And another one that was very hot at the period was Harriet Van Horn, television critic. She never didn't do endless politics, but she was always into television. And some of the big guys of the 50s, you talk about nostalgia. Can you tell me who was bigger than, say, in the 50s? He was so big that he was given a show opposite to Fred Allen, or rather opposite Ed Sullivan. And he was supposed to knock Ed Sullivan right off the air, which was the number one show in the 50s. Tremendous, the Ed Sullivan show was. And he was given the time right opposite him. Who was it? A comic. Who? No, you're wrong. He wears glasses. Steve Allen. That's correct. Steve Allen was a big fad in that time. And before we go any further, we got some commercials. We better lay them on you.
There's a way to keep your car going great and going far. It's called the Chevron.
Turn into Chevron. Your Chevron dealer is an auto specialist who can offer all the things your car needs to keep it running smoothly, like Atlas Steel radial tires. They'll give you sure traction, smoother handling, and a safer ride than ordinary tires because of their strong steel radial construction. Now's the time to see your Chevron dealer about the Atlas Steel Radial 70 tire.
And take the Chevron way.
songs to emerge from a movie musical, It's a Most Unusual Day is probably one of the best loved of them all. To it we met, held hands, fell in love, and dreamed impossible dreams. It's a Most Unusual Day. It's a song that reminds us of all the great songs that made the American musical so much a part of us. The Bandwagon, Three Little Words, Summer Stock. Now, imagine combining these great numbers with brand new appearances by some of the biggest stars in Hollywood. Elizabeth Taylor, Fred Astaire, James Stewart, Debbie Reynolds, Mickey Rooney, Liza Minnelli, Bing Crosby, Donald O'Connor, Peter Lawford, Gene Kelly, and Frank Sinatra. And you've got Bats Entertainment. It's more than a movie, it's a celebration. Bats Entertainment. Boy, do we need it now. Rated G.
Yeah, if you missed it, it's coming back again. Check newspaper ads for a theater near wherever it is that you hang out. All right, okay, now, what about a product now? You know, products are also fads. I mean, fads. I'm not talking about popular. They're fads for a while. There's a whole big thing about them. Okay, I'll give you one. It was nationally advertised all over the place, and it was an electrical appliance made by a famous used car dealer whose nickname was Madman. You mean you've never heard of Muntz TV? Madman Muntz? Well, that was one of the big fads of the 50s. He had ads all over the place, and they were advertising them on television and on radio. You remember Matt? All right, I'll bet Orville does. We're talking about fads of the 50s. What television set was made by a famous used car dealer, Orville? Muntz TV, Madman Muntz. Correct. And wasn't that a national fad? I mean, they had advertisements all over, radio, television, and they had Madman Muntz would make personal appearances all over the country. Oh, boy, you guys don't remember yesterday, I'm telling you. Very few of you do, you know? And what was one of the... All right, we'll bring in another one of those. What was the fad appliance of the 50s? They advertised it on television constantly. At night, there was always a guy saying, if you ordered this, within the next 20 minutes, you would also get a free set of dinnerware. Frozen food lockers. And you'd buy the frozen food locker, and they would supply you with food every week. They would come and give you hamburgers and all that stuff. Oh, what's the matter with you guys? Who was the guy that did all the pitches at night on New York television, always selling storm doors? Had big glasses. See how fame is? It's fleeting, friends. This is WOR New York. Stay tuned for In Conversation.